I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guy Warren Sharp, Sharp Analytics, is on the BetQL guest hotline right now. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Warren, good to talk to you again. It's been a while. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Week one in the books. Obviously, I know you guys want to talk a little bit about Jaden Daniels, but it was fun to see him out there under live fire, getting some real game reps finally. So looking forward to what happens in week two.
Yeah, I think we are too in town because, like everybody else, we're trying to figure out how much of this was a game in a week-to-week league that we're overreacting to and how much is kind of gospel moving forward and how this season's going to look. But let's dive into Daniels first and foremost. You did a nice video breakdown today. People can go check out on your Twitter account where you looked at what he did well, what didn't work. Give us kind of your thoughts on his first game.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the difficult part. When we're talking about, you know, some of the coach speak afterwards, and we're talking about what Jaden Daniels should look like moving forward and what the coaches want him to do, the tricky part is this. Obviously, he's making his first career start. It's on the road, and it's against Todd Bowles' defense. Those are all very difficult things for any quarterback to do. But I always look at it like, what was he being coached to do in the preseason? So keep this in your frame of reference as you're trying to think about him and what you might expect from him during the season, and particularly week one, as you use a barometer here. In the preseason, Jaden Daniels' time to throw was 1.91 seconds. There were 106 quarterbacks in the NFL preseason with over five dropbacks. That was the lowest. That was 106 out of 106. He had the fastest time to throw. He was being coached to get rid of the ball quickly. Make a decision, first check, go. Get rid of the ball. His air yards per attempt was 5.9 yards. That is very low. That was number 88 out of 106 quarterbacks. He was being asked to throw underneath on almost all of his passes. So when you look at Jaden Daniels and you say, like, oh, well, at LSU, he was able to do this, and then here I'm seeing him in Tampa and he's doing this. The fact of the matter is, when you put a quarterback under live fire, he's probably going to fall back on what he was being told to do in the preseason and actually executed in the preseason. It's much more difficult to say, okay, you should come in and hang in the pocket and go through your progressions and not run the football and just sit back there for 2, 3, 4 seconds and try to go through your progression. I'm not going to knock him for not doing any of that yet because he wasn't being coached to do that in the preseason. So obviously there are things that Jaden Daniels needs to work on. Some of it relates to passing the ball down the field. Some of it relates to being able to slide better when he does take off to run the football. But what I would like to share, and I do have feelings on, is, you know, if we're going to talk about Jaden Daniels running and it being too much, like Dan Quinn was saying, the place to start is cutting down on the designed runs that are not near the end zone. That is the place to start if we're talking about helping Jaden Daniels, not the scrambles when he is under pressure and he has no frame of reference in any of the preseason games that the coaching staff is going to work with him on standing in the pocket and resetting and setting up different pockets. I was reading the Thomas Boswell article about, you know, reestablishing, and, you know, I agree with Thomas. That's probably on the coaching staff because he wasn't being asked to do that in the preseason, but we can't knock Jaden Daniels for not doing that here in week one on the road against Todd Bowles' defense.
So Warren, it's such a tough balance. I think you did a great job of talking about this in that video and that breakdown where the skill set's incredible, like the ability to take a pressure and turn it into a positive gain for your team in terms of running. And there were moments maybe, hey, you could have thrown this ball or otherwise, but you're still ending up with these a 17-yard gain down the left sideline for a first down, one of their largest plays of the day for a pretty anemic offense. But you know, the big picture is at some point, some of those could be throws to hit touchdowns if you're buying more time and or big plays. And other times, you know, maybe you run the risk of getting hit. Like, it's just such a hard balance. And it's always like whatever happens after the fact, we want to go back and correct it with hindsight. What's the lesson? What's the balance there that the coaches in here are going to try to walk?
Yeah, that's a great, great point. And it is difficult. I'm sure most people who are listening did not see the article or hear my take on it. So the bottom line is Jaden Daniels had 16 runs. Seven of those runs were scrambles when it was a design pass play and he took off and ran with the football. Those plays averaged gains of 11 yards. Obviously, you and I both know this. That's way better than the average pass play. An 11-yard gain is way better than an average pass play. Those plays averaged 86% success and 1.15 EPA per attempt. If you look at what he did when he actually dropped back and tried to pass the football, he averaged 7.7 yards per attempt, 46% success, and negative 0.13 EPA per attempt. So much, much worse when he was actually sitting in the pocket trying to throw the ball down the field. Yes, looking back at some of those scrambles, there was one play in particular with Terry McLaurin where Daniels did have a pocket, should have stayed in the pocket, should not have run for the first down. Keep in mind, he did get a first down on that run, but that was seven waiting to happen if he hit that down the field. But most of these other scrambles where he's scrambling, I thought were the right decision for a young quarterback who was not asked to buy time in the pocket during the preseason and has no frame of reference for that. In addition, we're talking about when a quarterback is most likely to get injured, and studies have shown, although it's such a one-off scenario, and obviously we know what's happened to some quarterbacks around the league, like RG3, that you guys have perfect experience with that, you are more likely to be injured if you're sitting in the pocket trying to read out a pass, read out the routes and staying in the pocket, then you are scrambling down the field. And the reason is simple. When you're scrambling down the field, you have, generally speaking, a better frame of reference to see who's coming at you and to adjust your body before them. Whereas if you're in the pocket looking down the field, you got guys falling at your legs and you're really focused down the field. You're not focused on protecting yourself. Whereas if you're running, that could be your number one focus. But as it relates to should you scramble, should you hang in the pocket? I mean, obviously, like you said, hindsight's 20/20, but I want to share these stats, which I didn't talk about in the video or the article. Since 2021, on drives that start at or inside a team's 30-yard line, so we're not talking about drives that start near the end zone in scoring territory already, drives where you're going to have to go to the length of the field like an average drive. If you do not take a sack, 35% of the time you're going to score points. If you take one sack, just one sack on that drive, only 19% of the time will you score points. If you don't take a sack, 22% of the time, you're going to score a touchdown. If you take just one sack, that is cut in third to 8% of the time, you will score a touchdown. So you wanted to hang in the pocket, yes, but if you're taking a sack a la a Daniel Jones, who has no concept of pressure at all, like think about this. You guys are going to go up against this guy this weekend. Daniel Jones is the blueprint for what I think some Commanders fans might be arguing that you want a little bit more out of Jaden Daniels, which is absurd to me. You are going to see on Sunday when you watch Daniel Jones, if he's anything like he's been in his career or in week one, a quarterback who has no feel for pressure, who is hanging in the pocket far too long and takes unnecessary and unneeded sacks and hits and potentially fumbles the football as a result, but more importantly, he takes those sacks, which are drive killers, which forces the team to punt the football. You do not want that from your quarterback. And I also don't think that you want a guy who's just going to chuck the ball out of bounds at the sign of first pressure. I know he's had a great career, but that's like what Derek Carr does. If you're looking for a true game-changing, difference-making quarterback, you need him to be healthy out on the field. I 100% agree. But you need a guy who is going to be able to take the yards that are there on a particular given play. And hopefully it's through the air, but when it's not, and when there's a question, his skill set allows him to run the football. Just get down. Take. It's okay if you're not getting that 11th and 12th yard. Take the 10 if it means that you're not putting your body in harm's way. I 100% agree with that. That's what they need to be working on first and foremost with him when he does run the football.
Great info from Warren Sharp here on Grant and Danny. I think there's probably a happy medium, though, between like Daniel Jones and wide receivers having 19 yards in the game before the final drive in garbage time, right? Or a 12 completion performance where he's literally run more than he's completed passes in the middle of the fourth quarter. So I don't know. I don't need him to be Daniel Jones and have no feel.
We don't want that.
But I'd like to major in him looking to make plays through the air and minor in the runs, or at least get to a point where we're trending in that direction and coaching him up. And that's the part I don't know, Warren. Are they coaching him up in that way or not?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the question, you know, with Cliff Kingsbury. And that's why I think it's so important to take the context of what was he doing in the preseason. You know, what was he being asked to do? Because you're not just going to be able to flip a switch. This is what I want my quarterbacks to get a little bit of reps in the preseason. I think this is why we saw passing touchdowns at like a historic low since like 2006 in week one, because none of these quarterbacks are getting any reps in the preseason. But you're going to, especially if you're a rookie, you're going to trend a little bit more to what you were doing in the preseason. I think if you look at what Jaden Daniels was doing the preseason, then you push that forward to week one. Like you said, you've got your two top leading receivers are both running backs, and your number three is a tight end in Zach Ertz, which you and I both know from watching him in Philadelphia. Like, his glory years are far behind him. He should not be he maybe should be your third best highest targeted receiver, but not behind two running backs and no wide receivers. So it's dialing up. What they were doing is they were manufacturing a lot of easy passes for Jaden Daniels underneath to the guys that are closest to him at the line of scrimmage. The guys that are closest to him are running backs and tight ends. So it's a lot of underneath stuff that's being manufactured as your first read, get the ball out quickly. But the stuff to the wide receivers that needs to be there, they need to build that up a little bit more. So it's on everybody. But more so for a rookie quarterback, it's on the coaching staff. There's no doubt about it. Like, they need to work with him a little bit more on that. But you can't be fearful about the scrambling. You fear for the safety. But in my opinion, if you want less than 16 runs, knock off all the design stuff, which most of it came in the second half when you're down somewhat bit large. And focus a little bit more. If you want to run the ball with your backs, focus on it then. Focus on some of those early downs, getting the ball to the wide receivers. Don't wait to try to get to the wide receivers until third down, because on third down, that's the most likely time that you're going to be blitzed, most obvious passing situation. Throw some of these passes where the first read is Terry McLaurin on a first down. Make life easy for McLaurin and, most importantly, for Jaden Daniels. And I do agree with you. That is a happy medium is absolutely necessary here. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. I just wish, you know, right out the gate after his first game, that Dan Quinn doesn't come out and, you know, put him on blast for running with the ball like this. Like, knock off the designed runs then if you don't want him. But scrambling is such a valuable tool. Just do it a little bit more intelligently.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow our guest, Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football on Elon's app. So I want to deep dive real quick, Warren, into Kingsbury's offense. I mean, it looked, and listen, I haven't studied the All-22 in depth and charted everything that he was doing in Arizona, but it felt very Arizona-y to me, right? Where, you know, his number one wide receiver is lining up on the left side, very little motion, very little dynamic, and it's a lot of horizontal, quick stuff, kind of the things that you alluded to. Is there an evolution coming, or is we're sort of just, this is it?
I mean, there will be once he gets more familiar with the various personnel, and there's going to be a learning curve. I mean, there's going to be things that Jaden Daniels is going to be able to get to later on the season in terms of progressions and routes and that he's not able to at this very moment. And that's okay to me. It's a learning curve. But the one thing I will say about Cliff Kingsbury, you know, he worked with a rookie quarterback in Arizona. Kyler Murray was a rookie when Cliff Kingsbury was there. And Kyler Murray had a lot of success with this offense when he was there. Kyler Murray that season had 93 rushing attempts, though. That was the third most for any quarterback. He had 544 yards rushing. That was the number two most for any quarterback, and four rushing touchdowns, which is the number four most. He also took the number three most sacks at 48. But this team had a lot of success of getting to the red zone. They just weren't converting when they were down inside of the red zone. I think that you're going to see Cliff Kingsbury use Jaden Daniels' mobility, just again, reduce these obvious run plays on these designed quarterback runs unless you're near the end zone. I don't want to say I'm excited, because I do think you're lacking at the receiver position from a talent perspective. You don't have like three stud receivers just be out there in 11 like the Seattle Seahawks might and just be able to attack all levels of the field and have the secondary just pulling their hair out because they've got so many great wide receivers to cover. You don't have that going on in D.C., but there's a lot of balance that I think you need to find, and I think Kingsbury will get there. I do not think that he is one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL, however, so I mean, there is a ceiling here, But I think it's going to get a lot better. Your schedule is going to be full of a lot of challenging defenses as it relates to the NFC East in particular. And in addition, you're playing the AFC North. So you're going up against all those ridiculous defenses. So there's going to be games when it actually looks a lot worse sometimes than what it did this past week. And just be ready for those bumps and bruises along the way. That's going to be what happens when you've got a young quarterback who, just look at what he did in college. His scramble rate on pressures is one of the highest that we've seen. Like, he tends to scramble when he's pressured. So I just think it's a mistake if you're expecting him to suddenly, with the flip of the switch, be under pressure, stay in the pocket, read out the defenses. I think he might actually get injured in the pocket if he's trying to do that, because this is something that's going to take time. It's not going to come overnight. You can't just expect him to do that in week two against the Giants or in week three against the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football.
Warren Sharp on G&D. Always love chatting ball with him. All right, let me ask you one more on Kingsbury. I'm going to dive into some specific numbers here. The fastest pace of play in week one, Washington snapped the ball with the most time left on the play clock. So they were the fastest moving team, which I'm in on. I'm all for that. But they were sixth worst, 27th of 32 in snap motion percentage, like basically motion at the snap. Listen to these other teams that were worse than them, and you find me a team that is good on offense. The Browns, the Patriots, the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Bengals. Now, maybe those teams will get better, but they were dreadful in week one. I guess I bring this up to say this was one of the things that bothered me about Kingsbury's offense previously, to double down on what Danny said, and it seems like this is his plan. Like, I can count one time I saw when I watched back, McLaurin was in motion before the snap. He lined up on the same side of the formation like 43 or 49 times. Weird that you could take him out of the game and you know exactly where he's going to be. How much of a Kingsbury fan are you, I guess, would be my long-winded question.
No, it's a good question. You raised some valid points. As you were speaking, I just dove into the statistics, not to scare you guys, but I'm going to go ahead and scare you and all the listeners.
Great.
That in 2020, which was, I believe that was Kyler Murray's rookie season in Arizona. If it's not, tell me and I'll change the year. But Cliff Kingsbury's motion rate for the Arizona Cardinals, pre-snap motion, 27%, dead last in the NFL. So Cliff Kingsbury, this is Cliff Kingsbury, and it's not changing. I was not necessarily a fan of him coming to D.C. That's why I was saying I think that there is a ceiling on what he's going to bring. But I do think that there are some things that he does well, but this is very much, as one of my colleagues at Sharp Football Analysis likes to say, it's a horizontal raid. This is not necessarily like a deep raid. This is more of a horizontal raid. They are going fast, trying to get the ball out quickly, and a lot of stuff is underneath. They're going to need to find some success from a balanced perspective with the ground game and the pass game, because we know that in today's football, it is very difficult to matriculate the ball down the field anymore. I did a detailed analysis this offseason, once again, about the teams that are the most explosive. And those teams, it doesn't matter, like, even like the Chiefs, maybe not necessarily the most explosive team last year particularly, but the teams that are the most explosive tend to go the furthest in the playoffs. They tend to have the most success. Explosiveness is what allows you to bypass a lot of mistakes. It overcomes mistakes, and defenses try to force them more than ever with the two deeps and trying to keep things underneath. If you play right into that and you're throwing a lot of the time behind the line of scrimmage, you're throwing underneath, you're not really trying to test the defense, you're going to have a really difficult time matriculating the ball down the field on 10, 12, 13 play drives and trying to result in seven. So they need to figure out a little bit more ways to get explosive, but I agree there's a ceiling here with Cliff Kingsbury and how he's lining up players and his lack of motion and his lack of, motion gives the quarterback answers before the snap. It's one of the things you should be looking to do with a young quarterback is helping give him answers, like reading Cliff notes before you go to a test, or having the ability to have a really nice index card to take into one of your exams. Having some of these answers before you actually get the questions is pretty nice, and that's what motion does, and he doesn't like to use it very frequently.
Warren, great as always, buddy. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
Thanks, guys.
Good having you on. Check him out, Sharp Football and Sharp Football Analytics. joining us here on GND.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.